Romans 1 is where we're going. Romans 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 24. This is 32. Romans 1, 24 to 32. Romans 1, 24 to 32. So you may have heard that today something really sad happened. Something really sad and really, really evil happened. So there was someone who believes some things that the Bible says, and they were shot by someone who didn't like that about them. They didn't like what they believed, and they shot him. I would tell you, don't go look this up, because it's live on camera. Someone caught it on camera, so don't watch it. So don't watch it. But the reason I bring it up is because some of you might have heard about it. And the reaction to it was, obviously, people feel very bad about this, right? A husband died, a father died. But one of the reactions that I noticed, someone I know, their reaction was really, really, really sad. It actually made me feel sick. They were excited. They were happy that this person died. They were celebrating that this person was shot, and that this wife doesn't have her husband anymore, and that these kids don't have their dad anymore. They were excited because they think this person spreads hate, and this person spreads violence. And they think that this person doesn't deserve to be alive. And so they are celebrating that this person was shot. They're celebrating an innocent person's death because they disagree with what this person says. It's really sad. How does someone get to that point? Right? How does a real person, right, a real, not just someone online, but a real person get to the point where they're excited that an innocent person got shot and killed? What makes someone get to that point? What takes someone to be that hard-hearted and set in their sin and is what we're going to look at tonight. This passage, Romans 1, is going to show us a downward spiral of sin. It's going to show us where that spiral starts and kind of the steps along that spiral. And it's a spiral because it's cyclical. It reoccurs, and you go further and further, further down into this death spiral, and you end up like this person that I know, who I can't even explain how horrible this is. And they're excited. They're celebrating this person's death. And that's because they are currently living out this passage. This passage talks about our sin. It talks about what happens when we reject God. And that's what we're going to see in tonight's passage. So our main point tonight is that rejecting God starts a deadly spiral of sin. It begins with a rejection of God. It doesn't begin with who your parents are. It doesn't begin with how you were raised. It doesn't begin with who you follow on Instagram or the kind of books you read or the podcasts you listen to. It begins with what you do with God, with who God is to you. That's where it starts. And once you reject God, once you say that you don't want God in your life, once you oppose God in that way, you have set yourself on this trajectory, this downward spiral that will take you to terrible, terrible places. Obviously, in eternity, apart from God in hell, but also along the way, you won't go to places that you want to be in. So remember the big picture, right? We're seeing Romans 1, 2, and 3 are showing us that God's wrath is righteous. It's a good thing for God to show his wrath. It's a good thing because God is a good judge. He's being a good judge when he shows his anger towards sin. That's what we're looking at for these first three chapters of Romans. And this passage is showing us what that looks like. So what's going to be interesting about this passage is that this is actually how God shows his wrath. He hands people over to their spiral of sin. He says, okay, if you're going to reject me, I will let you keep doing that. And I will send you down this path, down this spiral to your destruction. And this is what we're going to see in this passage, okay? I don't know if we're going to be able to read through the whole thing, but this is what the spiral is. There's three steps to this spiral, okay? The death spiral of sin starts with rejecting God. People reject God to worship other things. They say, this is better than God. This thing that they want, maybe it's money, maybe it's power, maybe it's control, maybe it's pleasure, or maybe in this case, it's a statue, right? In Romans 1. They worship other things than God. They say, I don't want God, this is better. Remember we talked about last week, sin is preferring something else to God, right? Sin is not first and foremost something bad. The reason it's bad is because you're saying something's better than God. That's sin. So it starts with rejecting God to worship other things. Then God shows his wrath by handing people over to their sin. He says, okay, if that's what you want, if you really want something other than me, I'll let you have it. You can have this thing besides me to be your God. He hands them over to that. He says, here you go. You wanted it. And then those people say, awesome, great. I finally got what I wanted. I don't have God in my life anymore. I got rid of God. I'm the authority now. I'm in control. I'm most important. I finally got what I wanted. I can do whatever I want. No more rules, no more restrictions, no more big bad God telling me what to do. And they're free from that, and they embrace that sin, right? They embrace they're in control of their lives now, where they can do whatever they want, this freedom, this autonomy. They can do whatever they want, and then they keep on going down this spiral. That's what this passage is going to show us, that there's these three steps to this spiral. But it starts with rejecting God. And that's what we see in this passage, all right? So what I want you to see is I took kind of a few verses from Romans 1 just to kind of show you what Paul is saying. People reject God, right? They know God, they don't honor him as God. They know about God, right? They say, oh yeah, God exists, but they say, I don't really want to worship him. And he's saying everyone is in that boat. Everyone knows God exists. Everyone can know that God exists because of his creation, right? We talked about that, I think, 2 weeks ago or last week. Everyone can know God exists because of his creation. He's made it obvious that he exists. But people don't worship him. People don't treat him like he's God. They live their own life. Another way they do that is they exchange the glory of God for images. They say, well, I know that I'm supposed to worship God, but instead I want this. This is better than God. This is more important than God. This is cooler than God. This will make me happier than God could make me. They exchange the glory of God for images. Right? In our day, it's maybe not a picture or a statue, but it's a feeling we want, or a position we want, or a relationship we want, or something, right? We say, I want this more than I want God. Something else that we do is we exchange the truth about God for a lie. We say, well, maybe you think that about God, but I think God is like this. We take things that are true and we say, I don't want to believe those. I know maybe you say that God exists, or you say that God says this, or God wants me to live this way, and you say, I don't want to believe that. And you believe lies. That's the other thing that we do. Another way we reject God is we take things that are true and we say, I don't want those. I want things that make me feel good, things that I like. I'd rather hear what I like than hear what's true. And then another way, right, don't see fit to acknowledge God. We say, I don't want to deal with God. I'm just gonna put God to the back of my mind. I don't wanna think about God. I don't wanna live as though God exists. So it starts with a rejection of God. And so these points, the three points tonight, they're gonna be what not to do. These three points are three ways to ruin your life. So the points are what you're not supposed to do, right? The points are three ways to ruin your life, three ways to take this downward spiral of sin and end up under God's wrath. So the first way to ruin your life and blend in with our world that hates God is to reject God to worship other things, right? That's the first step in our spiral. It starts with rejecting God. Just like we said last week, all sin starts with preferring something to God. All sin starts with, I want that, I don't want God. I want to do things my way, not God's way. This is better than God. That's how sin starts. We even see that, right? I showed you this earlier, but we see that here. They exchanged the truth about God, verse 25. So these people whose God's handing over to their own desires, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. They said, I like the things God made more than God. Right? That's all of us in this room. We want the things that God made more than we want God. That's called sin. We're all sinners. We're all wired this way. Everyone starts off in this boat. We all start wanting what God made more than we want God, right? We want approval more than we want God. We want money more than we want God. We want security and comfort more than we want God. We want pleasure more than we want God. All these things we want more than God. We serve what God made instead of serving God. That's how sin starts. Every sin trades something true about God and says it's a lie, right? If you think about this, even with sins that maybe seem more common, right? Something like, well, I'm not like worshiping an idol. What about like anxiety? Anxiety, you're trading the truth about God for a lie. Anxiety is saying, well, I know that God's in control, but I don't really feel like he's in control. I know that God loves me, I don't really feel like he loves me. And so you're believing a lie instead of what's true, right? Or something maybe like impurity. You're saying, I know that God promises joy, but really, I think this will make me happy. Or laziness. I know that following God and doing this hard thing would actually be better for me, but I'd rather listen to my flesh, and I will buy the lie that being lazy and undisciplined will be better for me. So every sin, you're buying a lie, right? We talked about that last week, right? You're trading, you're making a bad trade, right? It's like you're the general manager of the Cowboys. You're making a bad trade. You're trading something true for a lie. But then part of this spiral is you also reject God's good design. So you not only reject God, you reject the way he made things to be. That's what the next few verses talk about, verses 26 and 27. For this reason, so what reason? Well, the people exchanged the truth about God for a lie. So then God gave them up. He handed them over to their desires. He said, okay, you want to worship something other than me? Here you go. I'll give you over to those sinful desires that you have. And this phrase natural relations comes up, right? The point that Paul's making is these people, these women and these men, they're sinning against God's created design. God made the world to work one way, and they're saying, God, we don't like the way you made the world. We're gonna do our own thing that we think is better. So what happens with sin is we not only reject God, we reject the way he made things, right? In this case, what Paul is talking about is homosexuality here in this passage, right? That's what he's saying. Women who exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, against nature, right? God designed marriage between a man and a woman. God designed there to be men and women and for you to stay a man and a woman or a woman. They're women. So these people, they say, I don't want the way God designed me to be. I want a different way. And so they're exchanging that. They're going against God's created design. Verse 27, same thing. These men do the same thing. Instead of wanting to be married to one woman, they say, well, actually, I desire other men. And so this is a down the spiral consequence of rejecting God. You reject God, then you start to reject what he says. And so then you reject his design. So it's down the spiral, right? So you reject God, you start rejecting things God says. That's what happens. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about homosexuality. Now, next week, we are going to talk more in depth about homosexuality. So if you have questions, don't terrorize your leaders yet. Next week, you'll be able to do that. So next week, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about homosexuality, how to talk to people who maybe believe that other things about homosexuality or any of the other LGBTQ plus letters. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. Okay, so if you have questions about that, what the Bible says, save them for next week. But we do care about that because God cares about it. And so we want to explain that to you and equip you to maybe talk with people who believe those things. So that's what we'll be covering next week. But right now, what I want you to see is that what Paul is saying here is that homosexuality is a rejection of God's design. It's an extension of rejecting God. You reject God, so then you reject the way he made things. Right? That's Paul's point. So then what happens next? Well, maybe you're like, well, my sin isn't that bad. I'm not one of these people that's totally rejecting the way God made the world. Well, look what else Paul says. Verse 28, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, these people who didn't want to worship God, God gave them up to a debased mind, like a twisted, messed up mind, to do what ought not to be done. And then he has this big list of things. There's like over 20 things on this list. I'm on this list. You're on this list, right? Maybe you were like, oh, well, I'm not one of those people that totally rejects God's design. Well, you're still one of these people, right? You're still one of these people who don't acknowledge God. Before you were a Christian, you were one of these people. So there's this big list of things. And some of these things, you're like, man, that's terrible, right? You see murder over there. You see haters of God on there. You see heartless or ruthless, and you're like, man, that's terrible. Those are really bad people. Well, who else is in the same category? Anyone ever done that before? Right? What about this one? You ever wanted something that wasn't yours? What about this one? You ever lied? What about this one? Right? This is all the same category, boasting. It's all the same group. All of these people deserve God's wrath. You deserve God's wrath, I deserve God's wrath, and the worst sinner you can think of deserves God's wrath. Every single person does. All of us reject God. All of us categorically do the same thing, right? We sin. We say, I want this more than God. So before you say, well, I'm not as bad as those people, keep reading the passage and think about, man, according to Paul, I do what these people do. The people who reject God, I do the same things that they do. So how do I not do this, right? How do I not start this downward spiral? How do I not, right? I'm a sinner. I know that. I see it. Okay. How do I not reject God? Well, hopefully you've already done this, but you embrace God, the opposite of rejecting, right? You think of like rejecting, pushing it away, embracing. You come to God. You say, God, I want you. That's what trusting God is. It's embracing him. Or maybe you heard the term receive Jesus. That means like to come to him, to embrace him. And you say, you trust God. You say, you know what, God, what you designed is good. The way you made the world to work, the things you say in your word are good. It's good for me. Right? You're a good God. You're a kind God. You're a loving God. And I trust you. I trust you to save me. I'm messed up. I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. And that starts when you become a Christian, but also for the rest of your life. There's going to be things that are hard for you to believe that what God says is better. It's going to be hard. Like for the rest of your Christian life, it's not just a one-time, okay, I didn't reject God, great, I'm a Christian. No, it's like, well, you keep on embracing God. You keep on saying, God, I trust you. Your design is better, right? Maybe I didn't get into the school I wanted to go into, or I don't have the friends that I thought I'd have, or I'm not as good at this as I want to be. Or what? You have to trust God with those things and say, God, you are working for my good. And then also something else to prevent this spiral is you see how destructive and terrible your sin is. You see where this goes. You see where this spiral, that's why Paul does this, is he shows you where your sinful desires will take you. You refute lies with truth. You think back when you're tempted to sin, you say, what? We talked about this last week, right? Your sin is trying to sell you something. It's trying to offer you something. And you say, well, that's not true. It's not worth it. Here's what God offers me. God offered me something better. That's why you need to know what God says. Because if you don't know what God says, it's going to be hard to believe that what he has for you is better. So the first step in this spiral is to reject God and worship other things instead, to want other things more than God. And the second step in our spiral, right, was that God hands people over to their sinful desires. which is interesting, right? Because God is the one actively doing that. It's not that you did it. God did it. That's how God shows his wrath, even presently. God is presently showing his wrath against people who are living and walking around on the earth by giving them over to their sin. And that's what we see in this passage. I forgot to show you this. This is how Paul ends Romans 1. Those who practice such things, disobeying their parents, gossiping, envying, deserve to die, right? We need to see how bad our sin is. My sin put Jesus on the cross, right? My sin deserves hell, just like that person's sin who maybe seems worse. Anyway, that was our first point. Talking about now, the second phase in our spiral, that God gives people over to their sinful desires when they reject him. We see that, right? Verse 24, 26, 28. It's like this, and that's where I got the spiral idea from, right? It's like, you ever seen a spiral staircase, right? Paul is like walking down this spiral staircase of sin. And God is the one who's saying, here's how I'm going to show my wrath. I'm going to hand you over to your lusts, to your passions, to your sinful thinking. I'm going to give you over to those things. It's like almost like in a courtroom, right? When someone's convicted, they hand them over, right? They're guilty and they hand them over. He's saying, here you go. This is what you wanted. And it's actually how God shows his wrath. God punishes you by letting you sin. Isn't that weird? So if you want to continue down the spiral of rejecting God and ruining your life, point two would be to let your desires loose. That's the second way you can ruin your life and end up apart from God under his wrath, is do whatever you want. Right? Don't hold back any of your sinful desires. Just follow them. Wherever your body, wherever your sin tells you to go, follow it and just go. That's how you ruin your life. But it's really interesting to think about that God shows his wrath by letting people sin, right? He hands them over to their sin. That's probably something you haven't thought about before. And how does that work? Well, if what you want is bad for you, it's a punishment to let you keep doing it, right? If what you want is bad for you, to punish you, I would just let you keep doing it, right? Because that's bad for you. It reminded me of this really old book that I read in elementary school. No one's probably ever heard of this book. It's called Mrs. Piggle Wiggle. Now this book, it's about this old lady, and Mrs. Piggle Wiggle is like this lady who's like really good at like parenting tricks. So all the people in their little town, they come to her and they're like, my daughter has this problem, or my son has this problem. And they ask her to fix it, and she comes up with some like really funny, like clever way to help them. So, for example, this dude, he didn't want to put his toys away. He never wanted to clean up, right? He never wanted to clean up. His toys are all over his room. He doesn't want to clean up. And so here's what Mrs. Piggle Wiggle decides to do. She says, okay, fine. Just let him keep all his toys out. And it's like, what? That seems counterintuitive, right? But what happens is I don't know how long, maybe it's like a month, they let him keep all his toys out, and he takes all them out, and his room is full of toys, and eventually he can't even like get out of his room. And like they're like delivering him food at the door of his room. Anyway, it's really funny. But then what Miss Tickle Wiggle does is she leads like a parade, like a really fun parade, like this big party outside the house. And he's stuck in his room because he wouldn't clean up his toys. So now he can't go enjoy this parade. He can't be part of this awesome party because he didn't put away his toys. You see that? So what she did is she said, hey, it's fine. Keep all your toys out. You're going to miss out on what's better. Right? Same thing. I'm not sure if it was this girl. There was a girl in the book. She never wanted to take a bath. She never wanted to shower. Right? Which that's pretty easy to hand someone over to, right? So what they did is they were like, fine, we're just going to let you not shower and not take a bath and never clean yourself. And then this girl gets like so dirty. They like, it's really weird. They plant like seeds on her because there's so much dirt on her, and she ends up like covered in like plants, which is probably not good. But the point is, okay, fine. You don't want to take a shower? That's totally fine. You're just going to be gross and disgusting, right? That's what God does when he hands you over to your sin. He says, okay, you want to keep sinning? You want to keep following your impure thoughts? You want to keep being anxious and not trusting me? You want to keep coveting and envying and gossiping and slandering and disobeying your parents and all the things on that list? Fine, do it. It'll kill you. That's what God says. That's how God shows his wrath, by letting you keep sinning. You miss out on these amazing things that he has to offer because you settled for something lame, right? You kept all the toys out in your room and you missed out on the party. Or you ended up gross and disgusting in your sin because that's what you wanted. You wanted it. And he says, here you go, have it. That's part of this spiral. If you let your sinful desires lead you, right? If you let your sinful desires take you where they want you to go, where you think you want to go, you will continue down this spiral under God's wrath. That's why self-control is such a good thing. All right, self-control is a good thing because it prevents you from following this spiral and ruining your life. Right? Paul is trying to show you the end of the story. This passage, what God is doing, God doesn't want you to end up stuck in your room with all your toys out, missing out on the party. God doesn't want you to be gross and disgusting with plants all over you because you didn't want to shower. Right? God loves you too much, and so he gives you warnings. And he says, if you keep going that way, it'll kill you. And so he says, follow me. Right? He gives you a better offer. But we have to fight our sinful desires to do that. Even if it feels good in the moment, right? Think about when you're tempted, right? Your desires are pulling at you. The best thing to do in that moment is to think, okay, where is this going to take me? If I give in to this temptation, where is this going to go? Right? Kind of like, you ever been to all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue? It's like, Candace just woke up. Right, and all you can eat from Korean barbecue, they have all those like random things out on the table, you know, like there's like vegetables and weird stuff, right? I know some people that don't even eat the rice at Korean barbecue. Why? Because they want to save as much room as possible for the meat, right? They want to save as much room as possible for the bulgogi and the, you know, Korean fried chicken and the pork belly. They want to save all the room for that. So they're like, no appetizers, I don't want it. Some people even skip lunch. Right? They're like, I want to be ready for this. So I'm going to skip lunch so that I can be as hungry as possible to get my money's worth on this 30 something dollar all you can eat barbecue, right? So what helps you be self-controlled, right? Let's say you're skipping lunch, which don't do it. But let's say you're skipping lunch to enjoy your all you can eat Korean barbecue at dinner. When you're starving at 3 p.m. and you want to go to the pantry and grab a snack, what's going to keep you motivated to be self-controlled and not give in to your desires? You got to think about the Korean barbecue, right? You got to think about how good it's going to be. You got to think about, oh man, I could just order like however much I want and I can just eat it. And you think about how awesome it is. And then you're like, oh, you know what? I'll wait. I'll pass on the Doritos. I'll pass on the whatever snacks, pretzels, whatever. I don't know. I'll pass on the snacks because I want what's better, right? That's what God is offering you. He's saying, here, I have an all-you-can-eat barbecue of goodness for you, but you're settling for the lame little appetizers on the table, right? You're eating the kimchi and the salad and the whatever, right? You're eating all that, and you should be saving room for what's really good. And that's how you be self-controlled. That's the secret to self-control, is to have a bigger desire, right? Well, I want this more, so I'm not going to fall for the little thing. Right? I'm not going to snack because I want dinner. That's what God gives us. He gives us promises. He gives us warnings. He says, if you eat this, you won't be hungry for dinner. You'll miss out. So think about, right, when you're tempted and you feel the pull of your desires, think about the end of the story. Think about, where is this going to take me? How is this going to go for me? And think about that your sinful desires are destructive too. Right, they'll kill you. Right, they appear to be good, but really they'll kill you. I heard a story, I heard a long time ago, about how some people kill wolves. They're shepherds, they're trying to protect their sheep, and this is how they kill wolves, okay? It's kind of crazy. What they do is they take a steak, essentially, like meat, and they put it over a knife, and then they freeze it and they put it out. And so the wolf smells the meat, right? And there's like blood and everything. And so the wolf starts licking the ice to get the meat off, or to get the ice off the meat so you can eat the meat, right? So the wolf's like licking this ice to get this meat, and all the wolf tastes, the wolf smells the meat, the wolf tastes the meat, and there's blood, and so he tastes blood, and that's good, right? He's hungry, he wants blood. So as the wolf starts licking this ice and chewing on this meat, he starts licking the knife. And then it cuts his tongue, and his tongue's bleeding. And the whole time he's licking it and like chewing on it, and he's tasting what he thinks is the animal that he's trying to eat. But whose blood is he really tasting? His. And so then the wolf bleeds out and dies. Yeah. That's what your sin is doing. Your sin is tricking you. Your sin makes you think you're eating this awesome steak, but really you're dying, you're bleeding out on your own blood. That's what your sin does. And the hard part is seeing it for what it is, right? Because you get so wrapped up in, oh, this tastes so good, and you don't realize what you're doing to yourself, right? And so that's why God gives us these warnings. That's why he says, hey, look out. All right, God's wrath is coming on these types of sins. God's wrath is against these people. These type of sins will lead you to death. That's what God says. And the reason he says that isn't because he hates you and wants you to have no fun. It's because he loves you and doesn't want you to die. So your sinful desires, if you follow your sinful desires, it tricks you because it gets you to like what kills you. Right? That's how your sin kills you. It gets you to like what kills you. And so you keep licking it, and you bleed out because you're enjoying it. But it's like you're addicted to poison, right? You're just drinking and drinking and drinking poison, and you kill yourself because you're enjoying what kills you. That's what your sin does. And so you have to see, where is this taking me? What is this doing? But that state, right, of I enjoy what kills me, right? That's what sin does to you. And if you follow this spiral, you reject God, you let your desires lead you. That's what Paul means when he says that God gives you over to your sinful desires. He talks about your mind. He says they're futile in their understanding, or they claim to be wise, they became fools because they started to like what kills them. You see that? In our passage from last week, they became futile in their thinking. They thought they were smart, but they were actually being foolish. And then God gave them up to a debased mind, right? A sinful mind, verse 28. What your sin does is it gets you to like what's killing you. And that's how you end up trapped in this spiral. That's the very bottom of the spiral. You like your sin. And you hate God. And you love hating God. And you love sinning. So the last step in this spiral is to embrace sinful thinking and values. So you start enjoying it. Right? Your sin used to feel bad, and now it doesn't anymore. Now it just feels normal. And then it starts feeling good and doesn't bother you anymore. Right? If you're starting to enjoy your sin, if you're approving your sin, if you're saying, this is great that I'm doing this, I love being lazy, right? I love gossiping. It's so fun, just the thrill of being able to spread news and the control I get from being able to define the narrative around people. Or, oh, I love how much better I am than other people, right? And your pride. Once you start enjoying it, and once it starts being comfortable and normal for you, you're in a really bad spot. Because you're enjoying what's killing you, right? It doesn't bother you anymore. Or when you watch that, it doesn't really convict you. Or when you play that game, or hear those words, or make those jokes, there's nothing happening. You're just like, oh, that's really funny. Or, oh, that was really good. And that's what God is warning you, right? Is people at the bottom of this spiral, and maybe that's you, think that they're doing great. They're like, look how free I am. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to be just, I can do whatever I want. I get to escape all of these rules that my parents put on me, or that the Bible says. They think they're doing great, but in reality, they're foolish because they're saying, I love this thing that's killing me. And that's where Paul goes, verse 27. They're doing shameless things, right? They're not embarrassed about it. They're doing it openly. They're not embarrassed if someone knows that they're sinning, right? Maybe they're bragging about it. Or this last part, they approve people who do those. Right? That's like what we do when we laugh at a dirty joke. We're giving approval to someone who's sinning. We're saying, oh, that's great. That's funny. So at the bottom of this spiral, your sin becomes more normal and more enjoyable. And the problem is you don't really notice it, right? Just like that wolf doesn't notice when it went from sheep blood to wolf blood. You don't notice it because it's so subtle. And that's why your sin, like Pastor PJ mentioned on Sunday, you can't just have a little sin in the corner and be like, oh, it's just a little one. It's okay. It's just gossip, or it's just coveting, or it's just lying. Or, I don't act on my lustful thoughts. I just have lustful thoughts. Those desires are trying to kill you. They're not just there, right? It's like having, every once in a while you hear this headline about, you know, owner killed by pet snake. It's like, why did you have a pet boa constrictor that was probably going to kill you if it got out of its cage, right? If you're treating your sin casually, like, oh, it's just a little sin. It's not a big deal. You're keeping a deadly pet, and it will kill you. It's trying to kill you. And so this whole thing starts with rejecting God, right? This whole spiral of embrace. Now at this point, right, the bottom of it, you're embracing sin. You're celebrating sin. You're not embarrassed about sin. You're not convicted. It starts with the rejection of God. And that's why your relationship with God, even as a Christian, is so important, because the closer you are with God, the more obvious your sin will be, right? Just like the cleaner your house is, the more obvious it is when something's dirty, right? My college apartment, I had two roommates. I moved in to their apartment. It was disgusting. Like, this one dude, like, literally stopped doing his dishes, like, just put them in the sink. And I was like, what in the world? Like, what are we doing, guys? The other dude would, like, stay up till 2 a.m. and play Rocket League and never clean anything. It was like the worst of what you think of from college living. And then they both graduated, praise the Lord, after I got there. And then I had this other roommate moved in. And this roommate, he's from Germany, his name is Marcus. And he was like the best thing ever. He came in, he like deep cleaned everything, right? He was like, he took like everything out of the stove, like all the burners out and everything, and like cleaned. I was like, this is wild. This is awesome. So, and then now, right now I'm married and I'm not living with dudes. I'm living with Shay, and Shay's a very clean person, and she designs things to look really cool and awesome. And so if one of my old college roommates wanted to live with us for a month, we would notice very quickly, right? If dirty things started showing up, or there was footprints on the floor, because it's clean. But if it's already dirty, you don't notice it, right? If your relationship with God is close, right? If you're in God's word, you're spending time in prayer, you have a growing love for him, a concern for others, you're excited to be with Jesus, your sin will hurt more because you're closer with God. So you'll notice your sin more and you'll be less vulnerable to this type of spiral. And so, like we talked about on Sunday, which I hope you're paying attention to Pastor PJ when he's preaching, but holiness, right, of putting off sin is how you enjoy God, right? The holier you are, the happier you'll be, because the more you'll enjoy God, the closer you'll be with God. So the reason we warn you about these things and we tell you about this spiral and how to ruin your life and all that is so that you go to God, right? We want you to go to God, and because God loves you and God will make you happier than your sin. Hands down, end of story. And so the reason that Paul is pointing all this out is because he wants to show you that you need Jesus. That's where we're going to go at the end of Romans chapter 3. He's going to say that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the only way to have a relationship with God, to enjoy God, is to have your sin taken away. And so as a Christian, it's putting off sin because you've already been forgiven, but primarily it comes from forgiveness, from justification, from getting Jesus' righteousness. That's how you enjoy God. Is the gateway into that is putting your faith in Jesus. And so if you saw yourself in this spiral tonight, if you saw, you know, that to me, I'm enjoying my sin, I'm celebrating my sin, don't fall for it and turn to Jesus. Right? You've been shown that your sin will lead you to your death. But Jesus offers you God. That's the reason we get forgiven. It's the reason Jesus gives us righteousness, so we can be with God. The whole point of forgiveness is who you get. You get God. So if you're a Christian, pursue holiness so you can get God. And if you're not, trust Jesus and get his righteousness so that you can enjoy God. Let's pray and we'll go to small groups. God, we are grateful that you want us to be happy. And maybe we've never thought about that before, but thank you that you love us and you made us to enjoy you. That's what Christians for centuries have said is the purpose of our existence, to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. So I pray that we would see sin as something that hinders, that prevents us from being happy, and that we would see you as our ultimate happiness, that you, God, love us so much and you want what's best for us and we can trust you to make us happy if we follow you. So I pray tonight that you would help us to see our sin for what it is. And I pray that in small groups, as we talk about our sin and its consequences and its effects, that we would be honest about ourselves and how we're so drawn to our sin, and that we would repent of sin, put it off, and kill it so that we can put on you and enjoy you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.